for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, November the 26th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on how to be free.
Lord, we thank you for this offering, for your provision. May you multiply it.
Yes.
Lord, we bless it and we bless the giver in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise God. You know, this morning over this world, there are millions of people singing about a Christ they don't know, mm-hmm. praying to a Christ they don't know, preaching about a Christ they don't know. I want to talk to you this morning about how to be free. Lord, we ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, be upon all of us, and that you anoint us to speak and to hear what you want said in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to tell you that I'm not attempting to correct anyone or to reprimand anyone. That's not my purpose or God's purpose. I have one objective, and that is to preach Christ. If I don't preach Christ, then don't listen to me. Romans 7:18, we'll begin there. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. We have to come to that realization that in our flesh dwells no good thing. Can't trust it. Don't need to look to it. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We can spend a lifetime attempting to perform that which is good, but out of our own selves, we'll never, ever accomplish this, not in a thousand lifetimes. It's impossible. Jesus said this is impossible with man, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Now, I believe that all of us as believers and followers of Christ have a will to do good, to do right, to do the will of God, the pleasure of God. But let us remember that it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, He said, I have the will to do it, but I can't find the will to perform it. It must not be that we're over, now listen to this, it must not be that we're over here praying to God that's up there in heaven, but it must be that God is also here in me by the Holy Spirit working to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm not just somewhere on my knees asking God to do something. He's in me. He has to be in me to do it. It's not done outside of us. It's done in us. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself, surprised at yourself? Just, I didn't think I'd ever do something like that. Didn't think I'd say it. We may do good for a while, but that sinful lust will come back with a vengeance. We may have a devil cast out of us, but Jesus said that the same devil will attempt to return and bring seven more devils worse than himself to take possession of us. How can that be? Because, according to what Jesus said, the devil having left them, they're now empty. But empty of what? Not empty of religion or doctrine or ministry or all these things. But they're empty of Christ. Not having within them the image or the person of Christ. It is because they're dead or empty of life. Because in John 5:12 we read, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. You cannot have revival outside of Christ. Cannot be a new creature in Christ outside of Christ. Now when Adam sinned, he died. And the Lord told him that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He did not mean physical death, but spiritual death. He lost, when he ate, when he disobeyed, he lost the image of Christ that he was created in. Therefore, he lost life. And he could not communicate with the Lord, but rather hid from him. The churches are not empty necessarily because they don't like what's there. It's because they don't like the temperature in the building. They don't like the cushions on the seat. They don't like the choir. They don't are not, and it's not necessarily because they have other things to do. It's because they don't like Christ. The spiritual death is defined as the inability to hear or to listen to the voice of the Lord. When Saul disobeyed, he could no longer, just as Adam, he could no longer hear God. He ended up going to the witch of Endor. He was dead spiritually. If you cannot, if I cannot, that's a scary thing. If we cannot hear God, where are we spiritually? He said, my sheep know my voice. The stranger they will not follow. That means that he is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. If we can hear. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And let's just have a reality check this morning. Sin dwells in us. You'll never reform your flesh. You'll never save your flesh. No matter how many classes you go to, you won't do it. The flesh has to be put to death on a daily basis. You can't do it one time and it's done. We have to deny ourselves daily. Can't do it one time. When I was growing up, I had a friend. He was I don't know what he was, but something different from what I went to church. And during Lent, which I didn't know what Lent was, but all I knew is he gave me a candy bar. Why'd you do that? Well, during Lent, we have to give something to somebody. We have to give something away. Folks, if that's all it took was giving a candy bar to someone, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? It's going to take a lot more than a candy bar. Praise God. Only as Christ dwells in us, meaning the image or the person of Christ, can we ever overcome the sin that dwells within us. Many would like to blame his sin on this or on that, or on a demon, on their mama, their daddy, somebody. But the scripture says it is our flesh that's producing sin. Read that in James chapter 1. It's very plain. Drawn away of our own lust. Verse 21, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It is. It's present. Here's our problem. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. This is Galatians 5:17. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. Those who operate in the desires of their flesh, meaning they're led by their flesh, will never please God. They'll never fool God either. It might fool your wife, pastor, and whoever, but you won't fool God. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That means our spirit man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, the spiritual man, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, bringing us into captivity. Here we see that sin is warring in our members against our spirit man's desire to do right. Now, this is a saved man that's talking here. Some people try to say, well, Paul was, he was referring to before he was saved, but that's not, you have to stretch that. This war between the flesh and the spirit results in our being brought into captivity to sin if we yield to it. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. You know what? One thing God requires is that we be broken and contrite. We're not going anywhere with God until we're broken and contrite. I've seen people come so full of pride, so full of themselves, think they're going to get, they're not going to get anything from God. He said, to this man will I look. He that is of a broken and contrite spirit. He is not looking at anybody else. I don't care what they do. Look at the two men that went in the temple that Christ told about. He did not look to the man that announced in all his good deeds. He looked to the one that wouldn't even lift his head to have me be on his chest and said, I'm a sinful man. Have mercy upon me. Broken. We must be broken before God. Number one rule is be broken before God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, wretched man that I am. I've heard men cry out those very words. Tears streaming down their face. You're going to get somewhere with God when you come to that place. God, you owe me. Really? That's pride speaking. You get mad if God doesn't do something. That's pride. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, sin always results in death. James 1:15. And Galatians 5:21 warns us against, again, that those who do such things, that speaking of sin, enumerates sin there, some sins, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care if you sing in the choir, preach the gospel. How much you give in the offering? Good old boy. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The ultimate death is the second death, which is the lake of fire spoken of in Revelations. Now there'll be two resurrections. The resurrection of the righteous or the judge. Now the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. Not twice, but once. And after death the judgment. All of us are appointed once to die. But most people are going to die twice. But we weren't appointed to that. God's not appointed us to wrath. That's not his intention. He's not willing that any perish but all come to repentance. But you read it's very plain there in the last few chapters of Revelation. And he talks about those that are in the first resurrection, and they'll not be touched by the second death. First resurrection's judgment seat of Christ our works will be tried. Those that make the first resurrection. The second resurrection is the dead will give up, the sea will give up the dead everywhere, the earth, wherever they're at, will give up the dead. And they'll stand before God, the great white throne judgment, and be judged. Their life will be compared to the image of Christ, the person of Christ. That's the books open, the record of our life, and the book, which is Christ. And be judged out of those things which we've done. If our name, meaning likeness or character, is not found in the book of life, meaning we are not in the image of Christ, he said we'd be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Second death. You don't want to go there. The ultimate death is the second death, the lake of fire. But this scripture does not say what shall deliver me, but who shall deliver me from this death? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Not what. Not something I can do or someone can do for me, but who? Who? Who is this who? The who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. What is this glory that we hope for? The glory is the image or the person of Christ in us. The only thing that is getting into heaven is the image of Christ. I mentioned that to you the other day when I spoke. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He never said that about anyone else. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now here the word mind means our capacity for spiritual truth, or to hear the voice of God. And it is the truth that will set us free. To have capacity for truth is to have space for the image or the person of Christ in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the greatest thing we could ever thank God for. That Christ can and will deliver us from death. From the power of darkness. But it is not information about Christ. That's not what he's speaking of. Or our believing something about Christ. Or a Christ of our own making, our own idea. And I'll tell you, everybody has an idea who they think he is and what they think he is. But the real Christ, which only the Holy Spirit can reveal within us. It is a sad thing that in this world, even in the religious world, this Christ that people have made. You go to the Catholic Church, they'll have Christ there on the cross. My wife and I stopped at a Catholic cathedral, I guess you could call it. Went in, they have this Christ on the cross, you know, hanging there up above the pulpit, whatever they call that, wires hanging up, you know. I went in one in Mexico, and they had him in a glass box, bleeding, you know. That's their idea of Christ, a dead Christ. John 16:12. We'll switch over to John 16:12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Christ speaking. Now, John 6, as Christ was speaking to those who believed on him, very plainly says his disciples, in fact, they responded that his words were hard words and that no one could hear or receive them. You know why? Because they were dead. They were dead. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, Christ said, I never say a word I don't hear my Father say. I never do anything I don't see him doing. The Holy Spirit, he said, will come, and he will not speak of himself. He'll only speak what he hears. The truth is the only truth. This truth is the only truth. And it is only truth that can set us free. The truth, Christ, that the Holy Spirit reveals in our hearts. That's the truth. The truth is the Christ that is revealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The problem is that many teachers and preachers are speaking out of their own selves, or something they've read, or something that they've been taught by man. Sit four years, 8 years, whatever, in a seminary. Instead of seeking and allowing the Holy Spirit to give them revelation, to reveal Christ in them. It's a terrible thing to speak for Christ when you don't even know Him. But we must be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying before we can repeat it to others. Verse 14, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify or reveal me. For He shall receive of mine and shall show or reveal it unto you. Is that happening in your life this morning? Is it happening? I don't mean 10 years ago. But is this what is happening in your life? The Holy Spirit was sent for one reason. To take the things of Christ and show them unto us. Not to tickle your spiritual funny bone. The gospel of Christ is the only true ministry. To preach the gospel of Christ is to preach Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul said, For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Also in 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 2 Corinthians 2:12, we read that Paul, he said, I came to preach Christ. Is there something else to preach? Now men will give account to God for taking the name of Christ and using His name to preach anything but Christ. Whatever our problem is, the only answer is Christ in us, the only source of life. He that has the Son has life. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show or reveal it unto you. Now Jesus, we know, came to show or reveal the Father to those that the Father was calling out for His purpose. You can read that in John 14, also other places. He was the brightness of the Father, the exact image. Jesus said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent for nothing else but to reveal Christ in a people that God is calling out to Himself. So I just believe there's more than that. That's it. God's eternal purpose is His Son. I said God's eternal purpose is His Son. It's not for me to have a ministry or you to have a ministry. It's not for us to get a new car or a better job. Now, there's something that we need more than we need information. We must have the revelation of Christ inwardly, ongoing within us by the work of the Holy Spirit. That is life, folks. John 8:31. Look at John 8 now. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed upon Him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, just like in John 6, when he's talking to those that believe on him, his disciples, they're going to turn away from him. And he's talking here to those that believe on him, they're going to get very angry with him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, we like to quote verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But there's a qualification for that, and it's in the previous verse, verse 31.
Amen.
Then said Jesus to those Jews and to us that believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, semicolon, and you shall know the truth. Cannot know the truth unless we continue in his word. Just professing Christ, or confessing our sins, or being baptized, or joining the discipleship class will not make us disciples of Christ. But rather, only if we abide or live in his word, and Christ is the word, meaning that we must have the word, which is Christ, and obey the word, which is Christ. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. Of all the things that the Lord could have said that would make us free, he said only one thing will make us free, and that is truth. The problem is, what is truth? Is it my truth, or your truth, or somebody, some truth I heard somebody say? What is the truth? Men have made the truth to be many things it is not. But the answer to what truth is has already been given, for Jesus declared, I am the truth. John 14:6. The truth is not what I say is truth or what you say is truth. The truth is a man. And that man is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. That man, praise God. That man, hallelujah. Christ Jesus, he is the truth. It is simple but absolutely true. Only Christ can make anyone free. I can't make you free, and you can't make me free. But how does Christ make us free? That's where we're going this morning. According to Scripture, we are made free as we're changed into the same image of Christ. How is that so? It's because that Christ does not sin. Even though he was tempted in all points like as we are, he does not sin. And as long as Christ is allowed to live his life through me, I will not sin. It'd be impossible. Therefore, Christ is alone is the answer to who shall deliver me from this body of death. The next verse there in Romans 7 says, thank God through Jesus Christ. Now, we're to cast out devils, Mark 16:17. That's the first thing he said. These signs shall follow them who believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. Why do we cast out devils? So that Christ can come. Not so you can feel better, keep your job, keep your marriage. And by the Holy Spirit, live. Praise God. So Christ can come, and by the Holy Spirit he can live in a person, which is God's purpose in deliverance. And this may come as a shock to some, maybe not here, but having a devil cast out of a person does not set that person free. Now listen, not in the sense that Jesus is speaking of in John 8. What do we mean? If a demon comes out, unless that person is filled with Christ, the image or person of Christ, then that person is empty and open to receive many more devils. And the last state will be worse than before the devil was cast out. What are we saying? That casting out a devil is not the end. We know that. The work is not finished. And in fact, that person empty without Christ is now in a more dangerous position than they were before. There's a lady that drove, well, her ex-husband drove her to our church about 5-hour drive to be for deliverance. And we prayed with her, and God touched that woman mightily. Even her ex-husband said, well, she's different. And her husband's, she said she was. But she got home, And a few weeks later, she's got an attitude on her. And basically saying that she didn't get set free. Well, I'll tell you what happened. She did, but she went home and got back in the stuff she was in before she came. Empty. She was empty. She's just seeking. She explained the problem. It's not for me to tell anybody, but she's expressing some of the problems she was having. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out she just wanted relief from that. Deliverance is needed, but without Christ coming in and replacing devils, deliverance is dangerous. What are we saying? Get deliverance, but get Christ also. Deliverance has an end, but getting Christ never has an end. Deliverance is a mean to an end, not an end in itself. Christ is the end of all things. For in Christ alone are we complete. Not in salvation, hear this. Not in healing, deliverance, ministering, or anything or anyone else. We are complete in Christ. You know, I have to realize in myself, I'm not complete in correcting anybody. I don't get complete in that. I'm complete in Christ. That sure takes the pressure off. Praise God. If you'll hear this, being complete in Christ will take the pressure off of everything in your life. I don't need you, and I don't need that, and I don't need this. I need Christ. I am complete in Him. If I'm getting what I think is completeness out of you, I'm going to be highly disappointed. He's the only one that can make us complete. And as only as long as we're in Him will we be complete. Adam and Eve were complete in Christ till they stepped outside of Christ. She was deceived. He made a choice to do what He did. And stepped outside of Christ and died for it spiritually. Christ is God's eternal purpose, and therefore all things were created for Christ. Don't go away saying that Brother Pinson is against deliverance. I'm not. I preach and minister deliverance, and so does our church, but only as a means to an end. The end of Christ being formed in a person, and therefore God getting what He wants in a person. Verse 33, they answered Him, "We are of Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How say you, we shall be made free?" Now this is not even true. While they're saying that they're in bondage to the Roman Empire. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin." Now, people don't like to hear that. I can quit this anytime I want to. Well, how come you haven't quit? Christ is saying to them and to us, "You have obeyed sin. You have done what sin told you to do. Therefore, you are the servant of sin."
That's right.
Hard to admit, but it's true. Verse 35, "And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. The only thing that is going to heaven, which is God's house, is the son, and those who are changed into the image of the son. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It's very easy to quote this, to identify with this, to claim this, just like it is easy to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You aren't quit lying. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. You know what? "Oh, how I love Jesus." Well, do you obey Him? He's very plain in John 14. "Those that love me, obey me." And why wouldn't we if we love Him? Just as in salvation, so it is in deliverance. It could be us doing something for others or ourselves. And then claim that the Son has made us free. But it wasn't the Son. It was us doing something. It's God that works in you both to will and do His good pleasure. The only thing I can say is we have to lead people to Christ. Because only in Him will they ever be made free. I'm not saying a devil cast out. That's a different thing. It's preliminary to this. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. Not by our own efforts to free ourselves. None of us will ever be free until the Son, Christ Jesus, makes us free.
We cannot sing ourselves free, shout ourselves free, preach ourselves free. And I want to add this. Condemn ourselves to freedom. You know, some people, I was going to preach on condemnation this morning. The Lord changed that. Condemnation is a very evil tactic of the devil. But then some people join in with that in a sense. They get on the devil's side and condemn themselves, thinking that if they're hard on themselves, they won't do it again. That's not going to set you free. Making promises to God, oh God, if you'll forgive me, I'll never do this again. Guess what? You will do it again. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I've told you probably here. Young man stood up in our church. He'd gotten out of prison. He said, I'm never going back to prison. I'll never do that again. I'll never do drugs. And just on and on. I don't know how many times he's been back to prison. Just got out again. Because I is not going to do it. let me tell you something. Scripture says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not greater. I'm not greater. I heard this. Evangelist was praying for people in the prayer line. He got to this one lady and he said, devil, why don't you pick on somebody bigger than this woman, meaning himself. In a short time, he was divorced, lost his ministry. The devil took him up on it. I want to say this too. In Jude, we read that Michael brought no railing accusation against Satan. Be careful how you talk to him. He's a powerful entity. More power than I have or you have. Our only hope is the power of Christ resting upon us. Praise God. None of us will ever be free until the Son, Christ Jesus, makes us free. We cannot preach ourselves free. We cannot pray ourselves free. The Son must set us free. The only thing that God is working through us is His Son and His Son in us. Say, well, if I can't pray myself free, why don't you start with humbling yourself? Why don't you start with that? Why don't we all start with that? I'm going to tell you what, I go around constantly, God help me, God help me. We have to come to the end of ourselves. Until you come to the end of yourself, you'll never get free. As long as you think you can work some angle, go get somebody to lay hands on you, somebody to say something, whatever. No, come to the end of yourself. I cannot do this. Again, I want to say it's not Christ over there and we're over here, or that Christ is with us, but it must be a work of Christ being in us and setting us free from the sinful nature that we all have. What is the work of Christ? It's the power of Christ, which is possible only by the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in us. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. The gospel of Christ is Christ, preaching Christ. Not preaching all this other stuff that's being preached today. Prosperity, motivational messages, self-help, all this that's being done. Feel good sermons, if you want to call them sermons. Speeches, how about that? The gospel of Christ is not something about Christ. It is Christ. Truth is not religious facts or information. Truth is a person, and that person is Christ. Oh, that we'd fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Him, praise God. Love Him again. Make Him the object of your living. The only reason you're breathing is Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in a person is to change them into the same image of Christ, or person of Christ. Being formed in them, growing up into Christ in all things. And these are all scriptures I'm giving you here. Coming into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Growing up into Christ in all things. Verse 37, Jesus answering them says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. A person can quote scripture all day long and yet never have Christ's word in them. Christ's word in them will make them free. Get the Word of God into a person and they will be made free. Because He is the Word. There are too many testimonies to the fact to ever refute that. Many a man or woman sitting in a prison cell and reading the Word of God, and they were set free. The Word. You cannot, don't come up here anywhere else wanting to be set free and you're not in the Word. You're just wasting people's time. And you need to quit wasting people's time. Praise God. Verse 38, I speak, Jesus here is talking, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. Whoa. That's going to get a little rough, isn't it? He goes on to tell your Father's the devil. The devil. Tell that to somebody. You might get slapped. I don't know. We're all God's children. Really? Where'd you read that at? People just parroting what they heard from someone else. Just as our words reveal what is in our hearts, so our deeds show who our real Father is. Perhaps it's, I know we shouldn't call our children and grandchildren little devils. I know that's not psychologically good for them. But you know what? If you act like one, you must be one. I said if you act like one, if you act like a duck, you must be a duck. If you crow like a chicken, you must be a chicken. If you sin like the devil, he's your father. You're his offspring. But there's a remedy for it. Perhaps it's not as important to our earthly father, who our earthly father is, or was, meaning our bloodline, our physical DNA, but rather who is our spiritual father now? The devil. I have to deal with that. Is God the Heavenly Father our father, or is Satan our father? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, and I never did call my children the devil. I want you to know that. I did not. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Either this scripture is true or it is not true. Somewhere in this walk of life, I'm free or I'm not free in Christ. That's the test. Am I in Christ? It is not, am I free? Are constantly seeking to be free from this bondage or that bondage, but am I in Christ? Because Christ in me is the answer to being free. Again, don't claim to be in Christ if you're not in Christ. In Christ is not a mental agreement or an act of identification with Christ or His work. But it is a literal position of existing or living in Christ on a daily basis. We will not know if we're in Christ. We will know if we're in Christ because, how are we going to know? Because old things have passed away and all things have become new. We will know if we're in Christ if I am not what I was and I do not do or say the things I once did. For then I'm a new creature in Christ. We ought to be able to see in our living that we're different. I'm not what I was, and I thank God I'm not what I was. You can't just say you're a new creature in Christ, though. You have to be one. More, you know, I used to think from going to the courthouse and having to testify or being there in on a jury or whatever, there are more lies told in the courthouse than anywhere in the county. But I don't know, there might be more lies told in the church house. Singing all these songs, singing all this stuff. Is that even true? It is not if I got saved or healed or how many demons I have got rid of, but rather, am I in Christ? That is what we're after. Again, salvation and deliverance is necessary. But these are only a means to an end, which is to be found in Christ. The end is to be found in Christ, Philippians 3. Before we can be in Christ, Christ must be in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now listen here. These are two different levels spoken of here. If Christ is in me, then He's in my house. And I'm in control. I don't know how much I can go into that, but I can have Christ being revealed in me and still not be a new creature. But if I am in Christ, then I am in His house and He's in control. And thereby I am a new creature with old things passed away and all things become new. Many a person wants Christ to be in them. They want the goodies they get from that, the blessings, salvation, different things. They want that, but they don't want to be in Christ because He will be in charge. You know that. I go visit you, that's your house. You come visit me, that's my house, my rules. Christ in me is adding Christ to what I already am. But if I'm in Christ, then it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. Christ living in me is exclusive. It was me doing and making decisions, but now it is Christ who is all in all, living in us. To be in Christ is to have Christ living His life through us. Ephesians 1:19, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to us for who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Christ is the power of God. You know, the longer I go in this, and the more I see, let me tell you something this morning. Christ is everything. Everything. Don't get sidetracked. Go after Him. He's the power of God, and nothing else is, and no one else is. We, and all our programs and ministry, is not the power of God. Christ alone is the power of God. That's, I read it to you folks, that is, you can look it up. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power of God. Everything that God's doing is through His Son. I only have power if and when Christ is working in and through me, which is by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, I've got power. I'm just going to go out like a magic wand. Just power. I got power. Read the rest of the verse. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. It tells you what that power is for. Not witnesses for Him. I'm going to go do something for Him. But I'm going to become a witness unto Him. I know some modern translations change that. Change that word from unto to for. But it is unto. I am to become what He is. How? What is that all about? I'm going to tell you, the only reason God gives us power is to become like Christ. John 1:12. As many as received Him, to them He gave power. Again, modern translations change that to right, authority, privilege. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to take more right, privilege, or authority to get you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's going to take power. Power of God. To them that received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Everything is about us being a son of God, a child of God. The qualification is this: to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Revelation 3:21. Now, back to verse 20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. I'm not at the right hand of God the Father. Christ alone is. Someday, if we qualify, we will sit with Christ in His throne, but not yet. And that's why I read that to you. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in His throne. There's only one that's ever ascended to the throne, and that's Christ. The only thing that's going to ascend with Him is those that are in His image, been changed in the image of Christ. You know, God's not going to allow anything else in heaven. Do you hear me? Christ's not, he's not, Paul had to deal with that in 1 Corinthians. He said, what is this? Some say I'm Apollos, some of Cephas, which is Peter, some of Paul. He said, is Christ divided? It's all about Christ. It's not about following your favorite minister, reading your favorite author. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is the Christ that we're speaking of. The mighty power of God is and always will be His Son, Jesus Christ. Not our programs, our knowledge, our gifts, our ministries. Verse 22, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. It's not whether the devil is under our feet, but are we under Christ's feet? You can sing that all you want, He's under your foot. But you better be under Christ's foot. Can I read again? He has put all things under His feet. That's me, and that's you. If I'm under His feet, I have His power. I'm not the head, you're not the head. Christ alone is the head of all things. Make Him to be the head of all things. It's so silly you see people fighting in church, who's going to be the head? And John, the Apostle John, had to write there, 3 John, and he talked about that man wanted the preeminence in the church. Christ is supposed to have the preeminence in all things. Colossians 2:10. Excuse me, now let me go back to verse 23. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Christ is the fullness of God that fills all His body, the true church, and all things, and all believers. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in Him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. The only position of completeness is that we are in Christ. Outside of Christ, I'm not complete. We're not complete in salvation, our healing, our deliverance, our discipleship, our ministry, our peace, our joy, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, our financial security, or our family, our education, our job, our home, our church. We're only complete in Christ, and we're not complete in ourselves. We're only complete in Christ, and we're only free as long as we're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, that means an open heaven, beholding as in a mirror the glory. Now, when you look in the mirror, you see the exact image. Christ was the exact image, expressed the exact image of His Father. The glory, meaning the image or person of the Lord Christ, are being changed or transformed in the same image from glory to glory, revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's the secret to Christ making us free. The secret, praise God. Sorry, I lost my place. Don't put your finger on there too long. You go crazy places. Praise God. Excuse me. I was almost at the end. Where's the end? I thank God. Praise God. Now, this is a secret to Christ making us free. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in us, inwardly, then we are changed in that same image as we're beholding or seeing His image, His person. We cannot be changed in the image of Christ by outward manifestations of Christ. It has to be inward by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only entity, the only agent, the only one that can change us in the image of Christ. No one else can do that. Go to all the discipleship classes you want to go to. You're not going to be changed in the image of Christ. Read all the books you want to read. Sing all the hymns. Only the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in us. We must see Christ. Behold Him. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in us inwardly, then we're changed in that same image. As we're beholding or seeing His image or His person. It is only the image or the person of Christ in us, changing us into the same image, that will make us free. We may have demons cast out of us. We may make commitments to Christ. We may do all these things. We may work for Him. But we certainly are not free indeed until Christ is formed in us, until we grow up into Christ in all things. God's answer to bondage is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Only free people are going to heaven. And the only people who are free indeed are those who are new creatures in Christ, who are changed into the same image as Christ. If God has, or He said, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Folks, that's what He expects and that's what He's going to get. And anything else is not going to make it. You can't. We have to be changed into His image. Why would God lay down a principle and then let people bypass it? Oh, well, that's okay. You don't have to be like my son. Anybody gets in heaven is not like his son, it won't be heaven very long. In fact, he said, he gave the parable, he said, there's one in there without a wedding garment on. That's Christ. He said, how'd you get in here without the wedding garment on? Said he was speechless. And he said, bind them hand and foot and cast them down in darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The first Adam lost the image of God, but Christ restores that image in us. It's not an outward work, but an inward work of God. You can't see it going on. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, you can't see where he was or where he's going, but you can sure feel the effects. Praise God. There's a young man that many years ago, he was an alcoholic. He came and gave his heart. He got free, set free. God changed his life and he looked 10 years younger. He went back on God, looked 10 years older again. Don't ever think I'm free. I made it. Paul said, I have not yet attained. Praise God. I haven't apprehended that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. The apprehension was Christ that he had to apprehend. Now, Colossians 3:3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where is your life? Is it hanging out there for all to see? This is what the world teaches. Be yourself, put on your individual costume and be seen of men. We were somewhere yesterday. My wife and I were somewhere yesterday uptown. All these people going around in their costumes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Their costumes. One guy walks back and he's got this funny looking hat on and he's dressed, you know, and that's his costume. We all wear a costume, I guess. One guy comes back with his cowboy hat on and his next guy comes out with his bandana on. That's his costume, you know. I'm going to costume party. I get out there where people can see our... Do y'all catch what I was saying? Everybody's wearing a costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God. The beggar's wearing a costume. This is true. Where I live, they seen this guy out there. And when he got through, went around and took that off and got in his Cadillac and left. All where we live, praise God. But put on our individual costume and be seen by men. But I never understood preachers wearing their costumes. The backward collar, the black stuff, you know, the cross, gold cross on the gold chain. And especially you get to the Pope with that big thing sticking on his head and all his little underlings, you know. And they're wearing their costume. Away with the costumes! Praise God. Save your money. If I got to wear a costume to have a certain position, you know. And I'm not referring to Sister Deborah this morning. God told her to do what she's doing, and I respect that. Please, I'm not. I wear a costume too, Sister Deborah. This is it. What you see is what you get. I don't know if I own a suit. If I did, I probably wouldn't fit in it if it's very old. I couldn't button it, probably. Praise God. Okay. God's intention is that we be hid with Christ in God. Now look, there's much to say about the hidden life in Christ and ministries in church being hidden. All these churches trying to get out there on the main intersection with a big, some kind of building that everybody can see for miles if they can afford it, if they got a big enough customer base. You know what? Who do you think they're coming after when this thing blows up? Be better to be hidden. Be hidden. Stay under the radar. Alright? Praise God. Don't try to be out there and be seen. It won't work for your advantage. Verse 4. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. If Christ is not our life, then we'll not appear with him in heaven. Those who live independently of Christ will still be independent in eternity. Independent of Christ in a place called the second death, the lake of fire. You want to be independent? That's when we'll work with God. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We need to quit lying, quit trying to look like we're in Christ when we're not. Right? When we're not. Quit trying to look like it. Praise God. And be found in him. Well, let me back up a little more. Quit lying to one another. Quit telling each other that. And then I want to, verse 10, and have put on the new man Christ, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him, Christ that created him. No one will ever be renewed, be a new creature, through the work of a recovery or rehab program or discipleship program. You know, we go to the jail minister every Tuesday night, and these guys in there will agree with you. The rehab programs are a joke. They don't work. They'll tell you that, because most of them have been through them several times between in and out of the jail. But the government has, we've worked with some guys who are on parole. And you know what? And I had one parole officer tell me I was signing up for this man to come, young man to come. And she said, we're setting them up for success. Oh, no, you're not. You're setting them up for failure. They ain't going to be able to hold a job with all this stuff they got to go to. How can they hold a job? They got to drive 35 miles to go to their training or their classes, 3 hours of... 3 hours, one of them was 3 hours, three times a week, and on the third one, he had to go for 5 hours with a space in between. And I was supposed to drive, or somebody's supposed to drive him up to all that. And then he's got to go to rehab and recovery and all this, and then show up and pee in a bottle and do all this stuff. You know, how's he ever? Most of them give up. You know what they do? They give up. They can't do it. It's unreal, unrealistic. I'm going to say too much here. But you know what? I know prison's not, well, prison is too. You ever go by a prison, see their big old farm out there? Some of them had factories. Free labor. Slave labor. I'm not saying that they didn't do something to deserve to be punished, but the only thing that'll ever change us is the revelation or image or person of Christ in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He's talking about all his religious activity he had done, formerly done. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Remember, we just read renewed in the knowledge of Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but none, that I may win Christ. Listen, this morning, it's all about winning Christ. Get your focus off yourself and get it on winning Christ, and you'll see great changes in your life. Winning Christ, the image or person of Christ, formed in us as believers and followers of Christ, and be found in Him, not have my own righteousness. Here we see again the principle of being in Christ, the answer to being free, being found in Him. Where are you found at? Out. Where are you found this morning? Who are you found in? What are you found in? What is your life? When Christ is our life. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable to His death. Now let us know that it's the power of His resurrection, which is the power of an endless life, Hebrews 7:16. Not the power of His death. The fellowship of we live because He lives. Had He died on the cross and not rose again and went to the Father, He'd be all for nothing. The fellowship of His suffering, which is the loss of all things that we might gain Christ. Christ is not going to compete with our lust or the lust of the world in us. The flesh must be laid down or Christ will not be in us. And we will not be in Him, meaning that we will not win Christ. Let us also note that we will be made conformable unto His death. What is Jesus? What is His death? Not my will, but Your will be done. And for us, we're to pray Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you really think Your will is being done in heaven? Verse 11, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead, we'll either win Christ or we'll win the lake of fire. That's just putting it plain, but it's the truth. Which are you seeking to win? You may say, I'm too hard. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm learning something. People are never going to be set free unless we speak the truth to them.
That's it.
It's playing around with them, patting them on their evil little nasty shoulders. Mm-hmm. Tell them the truth.
That's right.
You're going down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. And it's going to lead to the wrong place. And call it what it is. Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Lake of fire. Pray to even say those words. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ. Here's one more verse. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The Lord showed me this. I appreciate this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of who? Because He's everything. Everything is subject to Him, under Him, for Him, by Him, to Him. As the whole, if I'm not, then I'm out. There's no other recourse for me. Are you? We must understand this is not a game we're playing. It's not a job you can get. George Mueller, his father put him in seminary in Germany. He was a German. Because it was the easiest and best paying job. And very secure. That's not what this must be, folks. The only problem was he got saved. Got out of all that. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in us, and thereby we behold or see Christ, then we have a choice. I want to tell you that beholding Him is not automatic that we'll be changed. This is explaining it here, right here. Bring every thought into obedience to Christ. I'm seeing Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's really making progress. We've gone a long ways when we get there. But then I have a choice. Am I going to bring every thought in my life into obedience to what I'm beholding Christ? Or am I going to do what I want to do? Our choice will determine if or not we're changed in the same image of Christ. The choice is, will we obey the image of Christ? Or will we bring every thought into the obedience of the image or person of Christ? Or will we rebel and be independent of His image or His person? I'll close with this. One time we were building our new church. And I promised the Lord, I didn't want to get caught up in that. You know, there's so many things the devil gets you sidetracked with. Your job, whatever. And remember something. Not only are we complete in Christ, but that means He is our source. It's not your job or whatever. But I was over there working. I don't know what I was doing. But I was doing something. And I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me to come and fellowship with Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open to me, I'll come in and sup with him, fellowship with him. I felt that. And I said, just a minute. In saying that, I rebelled. Okay? I made myself in charge. I became independent. And so 15 minutes later, I said, uh-oh. I put my tools down and ran, literally, to the old building where I had a little office there. But he didn't come. Because I'm going to tell us all of a sudden right now, he's not on your time schedule. And he doesn't come at your beck and call. No, Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except through me. And no one can come to Christ unless the Spirit draws him. I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't. We do the same thing. We got money. And we got all these bills. We got all these bills. And say, you know, I just can't pay my tithes this week. Being independent. See? It's the same. This is what we're talking about here. We won't bring every thought captive. It'll be He comes first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is Christ. And all these things will be added unto you. I told you I didn't finish that the other morning. But I was telling that to the guys in prison, jail, and they don't even know what in the world you mean tithes. Well, it's 10% of whatever you get. And I said, some of you are in here because you're a thief. And you're locked up. Well, I'll tell you what, you ain't going to be in heaven if you're robbing from Him. You better rob from your neighbor than rob from Him, but don't be the one. There's so many things, so many things, so many things. We behold Him. We see what He is. The Holy Spirit's revealing Christ in us. His nature, likeness, character. His person. And then we have to decide, am I going to obey what He's showing me? Or am I going to do my thing? And that's where it's at. You disobey Him. One thing, you stop right there. I don't care what else comes. You're held up right there. Till you go back and repent of that and make that right, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Would you stand with me, please? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We've heard some wonderful, wonderful words this week, haven't we? People have been helped, set free, encouraged. Thank you, Lord. You know what? And this camp needs to be encouraged. We're going to go on our way and do our, well, hopefully do the Lord's thing. But they're here. Lord, I'm just asking you to bless this camp. The pressure that's on them, the financial pressure, Lord, the devil attacking. I know he attacks here. He attacks where I'm at. No respect for persons either. Bless this camp, Lord. Encourage. Encourage. Show yourself. Prove yourself, Father. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I want you to understand this morning that the Lord loves you. He doesn't love your sin. He doesn't love you so much that He's going to let your sin be excused. Amen. Praise God. Have you been going after Christ, trying to win Christ? Count everything lost. Anything that gets between you and Christ, you do away with it. You do like Paul said, you throw it in the trash. You dispose of it. Because it's a detriment to your relationship to Christ. And you don't want that. It's one thing that keeps me doing right. I don't want to lose His presence. I've learned that if I do some things, I'll lose His presence. And I don't want that. I want His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures of this world but for a season. Moses understood that and he rejected it and went after Christ. Seeing Him who's invisible, that's how he endured Christ. Christ the rock that followed him. Christ the rock that the water came out of. He's our rock. Living water comes out of Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I realize this may be hard this morning. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I hope you don't go away saying this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But perhaps God's spoken to your heart. Is Christ who and what you're after? Is He? Is He? Or is He just something you've added to yourself when you need Him? This is what it's all about. Praise God. Don't be a Christ rejecter. You say, well, I never would do that. I got saved. I walked down the aisle. I repeated a prayer. But on a daily basis, are we rejecting Christ, the image, the person of Christ that the Holy Spirit showed us? In the Word and in our spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We've got some time. If you want prayer, if you'll come, we'll pray for you, whatever your need is, whatever it is. But especially if you want to win Christ, and you want prayer that you will have the strength. Power of God, power of Christ, to go after Him. Praise God. If you come and stand, we'll pray for you. I want to dismiss and pray over the food. And Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that's on our way home. Bless those that stay here at the camp. Stay with the stuff. God, go with us and let us go after you. We bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.